Hey guys, this is Rob Paulson, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the circle of trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Greg.
This is Chuck.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, a podcast that will be facing off with food as we play a brand new game. Food Face-Off, which will be interesting in many different ways, where we try to determine what are really the best types of food in different situations. We'll see how that goes. People seem to love when we talk about food. Hopefully, those on diets are not listening. Unfortunately, I am.
So I'm listening.
Yeah, me too. So, we'll see how that goes. But before we get to that, how's the week been going for you guys?
My week was kind of interesting and crappy at the same time. I had an ear blockage from huge buildup of earwax.
Nice.
You gotta clean that shit, son.
Well, see, I know it's gross, so I apologize for the story, but I need to raise awareness for earwax safety. But
it's an important topic. Not nearly. What color is the armband for that? Is it like orange?
It's yellow. Like this gross brown color. Well, no, see, like I clean my ears all the time, like, you know, after I get out of the shower or whatever, like Q-tip, and there's never anything on it, so I'm like, oh, okay, clean ears, you know. And so the one day I'm cleaning it out and something gets pushed in there, and all of a sudden it feels like I have, like, you know, water in the ear, if you know that feeling, like,
yeah.
Where, you know, it's blocked up and you just kind of can't hear, it's like muffled. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And I'm like, well, I'm sure it'll like come loose after like an hour or two or something. So I just go to work, and this thing, like, after a few hours, it's not going away, and it's just annoying the crap out of me. Basically, like, hearing out of one ear, and it was just extremely annoying, and it just, like, the feeling, like, you could, like, feel it, feel the blockage in there and everything. And so, like, I called the doctor to see if I could get it in for an appointment for them to, like, get it out, and they're like, oh, we don't have any appointments today. I'm like, damn it.
You're like, what? I can't hear you. Sorry. I'm wrong here.
I know. I should have been like, oh, okay, 3 o'clock. Sure, I'll be there. So I'm like, all right, I could try some stuff at home until tomorrow or whatever. And, you know, I bought this little kit at like the pharmacy for like, you know, earwax. There's like drops in it, and there's that little plunger,
the bulb thing
that you squirt the water in. And yeah, that did not work at all.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the drops felt like they were working. Like I heard a lot of like crackling and fizzing and stuff, but it just was not working. So when I got into the doctor the next day, and it wasn't until like the end of the day too, I'm like, that figures, thanks a lot, you know. So I'm going on like close to 2 days with this stupid thing now. And I finally got in, and they have this like huge, it looks like a big stainless steel syringe, basically. Oof. And it's just like when they squeeze it, like with the water, they push the water into your ear. It's like there's so much force to it. And it's, he had to do it like 6 or 7 times, but it eventually like blew the thing out of there. But it was, I'm not gonna lie, it was gross. It was huge. It was like the size of an M&M.
Wow.
But like, I told him, like, I'm like, doc, what am I doing wrong? Like, I clean my ears. Like, he's like, well, it's, you know, there's nothing you can really do. Like, some people's ear canals are shaped differently to begin with. And like, you're really not supposed to stick the Q-tip in far into your ear anyway. He's,
you're
like,
not even supposed to use a Q-tip, I've heard.
Right. He said, he's like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you can't use one. Cause he's like, I do it myself. But he's like, it's tough. Like, you're supposed to just use like peroxide and water and like, you know, every week or something, and just kind of let it fizz in there, and that cleans it out. But he's like, there's really not much you can do about it. He's like, the same thing that just happened to you happens to me, and I have to have my nurse clean it out for me and stuff. So
that's gonna be kind of like, awkward. Oh, it's like, geez.
Yeah. So it was kind of gross, but while I was there, they did the other ear, which, you know, just to kind of keep me balanced. And like, once he did both of them, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I could hear everything. Like, I freaking felt like Daredevil. Like, I could hear people like breathing and shit. Like, some guy dropped a dollar bill across the street and I heard it. I was like, wow. I walked outside and I'm like, everything was so loud. It's like,
then, like, that would literally be the weirdest superhero origin story ever. He had his ears blocked for 2 years, and then when it came, yeah.
After being blocked with earwax and had it removed by the doctor, he gained superpowers. Yeah, it was crazy, but yeah, very thankful to have my hearing, and I have new respect for people with hearing loss because it definitely sucks. So,
alrighty, Greg, how are things going with you?
Yeah, my ears are fine, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there you go. Maybe they aren't, and you just don't realize it. Maybe, you know.
I actually do get stuff out. I use Q-tips, even though you're not supposed to, but whatever. It whacks all the time, so I don't think I'm bad.
I don't think you're bad either, Greg.
Thanks.
It's tough to notice because you kind of get, like, your hearing diminishes gradually every day, like, so you don't notice it, you know?
That's like almost like this is a bad like reference or direct into it, but like in The Office where Jim kept putting coins gradually into the Dwight's phone and it kept getting heavier gradually. And then one day he took all the coins out and he tried to pick up the phone and he hit himself in the face with the phone.
I do remember that.
I love that one.
Very cool. Well, actually, I have kind of a bodily function related story as well, but
yes.
I guess welcome to Bodily Function Podcast, our bodily fluids podcast, but it's not me. So I was in the morning, I heard my son crying. So I was going into his crib to go pick him up, and I was like half awake because it's like right in the morning, around like 5 a.m. So it's walking in. Then I like look at his face and it's just like covered in blood. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's, and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what in the hell? It was really freaky. My wife's like, he just had a nosebleed, and she's like cleaning up and was completely fine with it. But he had this cold for like ever, won't go away. And it was just that must've been a really dry night. So it caused him to have a nosebleed, but doing so, it just went everywhere. So it was just like, it looked like he got in a fight with himself during the night or something like that.
He started a little baby fight club.
Yes. He might have, yeah. He wouldn't talk to me about it, though.
And he doesn't talk about it because he can't talk yet. But, yeah. So he's like the perfect member.
And yeah. Also, yeah, it's the first rule of baby fight club. You can't talk about baby fight club.
No, yeah, I guess that is the first rule of baby fight club. I wonder what the second rule is of baby fight club, I guess.
No sucking your thumb? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Don't poop yourself till the fight's over.
No dirty diapers allowed, I guess, yeah. That was a random thing that happened. I thought it was like, wow, that'll wake you up in the morning. So that was fun. Over the weekend, one thing we did get to do, and we started watching, and it's always good to find like a new show and kind of get addicted a little bit and start that off, that little bit of a TV marathon. And we did that this past weekend because there was a show we've been wanting to watch. We watched the first episode like 2 years ago, but we never continued with it. And it was AMC's Turn. I don't know if you guys have seen previews for it or heard about it at all. It's the Revolutionary War TV show.
Oh, yeah. It took me a while to realize. I'm like, Turn. Is this about NASCAR and they can only turn right? Or...
Yeah, it's weird.
I think I watched a little bit of that from last season.
Yeah, it should have been called like America the Prequel, maybe. I'm not sure. Might have been... Turn's not the best name. But the premise of the show is that it's kind of a Jimmy Bell, who you may remember from Fantastic Four last year. Probably not. Maybe Jumper. He's been Billy Elliot. He was good in that. But he's actually a good actor. But he plays kind of this guy who lives in Long Island. And it's just taking place right in 1776, not too long after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, right in the beginnings of the Revolutionary War, and it covers just the use of spies. The subtitle of it, it's like George Washington Spies or something of that nature. And one thing I find curious is that there's so little TV shows or films about the Revolutionary War. Like, there was a John Adams miniseries on HBO, like The Patriot with Mel Gibson in the 90s, but there's not much out there, and it's a shame because it's really quite a fascinating time period. It's just strange. I think in a lot of ways people have a kind of misconception of what that war was like. I think people think that George Washington crossed the Delaware River and he killed the, you know, he won the battle, and then like 2 weeks later America was born, and like that was the end of that. But it showed how much, you know, George Washington's army had going against him, and how he had to deal with deserters, and the morale was really low for them, and there were the likelihood of them succeeding was super low. And it's a fun show. There's a lot of different elements that go into it. You know, the towns that you still have that are loyal to the king, those areas that are obviously more, you know, more pro George Washington, and then you also have these like other kind of mercenary soldiers who show up here and there, which are a lot of fun too. That what's kind of funny too is that like the British soldiers, the main stars that are like the British generals and leaders, they are a little hammy, very British in that way. Like, they're just, I would say, a little over top at times, but still fun. We've watched the first season and a part of the second season. I like the first season, but I think the second season's actually been somewhat better. George Washington was barely in the first season, and it's just also kind of weird seeing someone play George Washington. And but he's more in the second season, getting more into the foundation of the Secret Service. Well, not the Secret Service, but the kind of the intelligence agency that George Washington was using. And more with him, and then obviously this guy Benedict Arnold has been introduced. I don't know if you've heard about him, but I don't know why. I don't.
He has delicious breakfast.
I just don't trust him for some reason.
He sounds like a traitor. I don't know.
He does. He does. So spoiler alert for history, that might actually happen. But that it is interesting. I think they do use like actual history in a cool way to formulate like what's going on. So if you don't know anything about that time period, it may not be nearly as effective, because they do kind of, like, there is a part of the first season that does get into George Washington's crossing of the Delaware and what that was like. And that was one of the best episodes of the season. You realize one of the biggest weapons in that war was the ability to get information. I mean, it's obviously played up for the show, but like how hard it was and the different lengths they would go through. So if you're at all a fan of historical fiction, I would say check it out. I wouldn't put it in the top echelon of AMC series. I wouldn't say it's nearly as good as Mad Men or Breaking Bad, but I think it's right below that. I think it's well acted. Its production value is really solid. There's not a lot of action sequences. It's a little more dramatic than I thought it would be. There's some relationship drama that goes on that's kind of a dominating factor in the first season, which is fine. But I think season 3 just started on AMC, or is about to start. But the first two seasons are now on Netflix streaming. So if you're all interested, I would definitely check it out. It took a couple episodes for us to get into it, but once we were in it full bore. So, Greg, I know last week you read a book, and of course you read another book. What did you read, and what did you think of it?
What up, bookies? That's the wrong thing.
Bookies? Yeah. Someone tries to start a club for book readers, and it's like, welcome. You know, it's like, that seems like an SNL skit waiting to happen. Like, bookies, and it's all this guy who loves books, but everyone there is like mob-connected bookies who are trying to talk about their, I don't know. There was a thing there, and it trailed off at the end, but yes.
I'll take course number 3 at 10-1.
I took horse book name Overwinter for 500. But yeah, I read a book called Overwinter. It's a book written by David Wellington, who has written a few books that I've been really into. Chuck would like him just for the fact that he is a Penn State alum. But nice.
That's where I saw him.
Is that the guy who wrote, was it Zombie Island or Zombie something?
Yeah, Monster Island, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And, I like Monster that. Nation, and yeah, he wrote a bunch of those. But yeah, this is about werewolves, this book, and it's been a while since I've actually read it, so I don't really know how it compares to the previous book, because it's been a while, but it does kind of work as a standalone book. You don't really need the first one to enjoy this one. I don't think it's his best work. Definitely the Monster Trilogy is by far the best thing that he's written. I even say that his Vampire is better than this book. It's about werewolves. This woman is a freshly minted werewolf, and she is with this guy that, spoilers for the first book, that kills her father and essentially transforms her into a werewolf. But they're getting along in this book, and they're on a mission together to keep going further north, where there's less people up in the Canadian wilderness, so they're not around people and killing them. And also up north, he wants to find a cure for his lycanthropy, or however you say that word. I think that's how you say it. And so they're essentially heading up north to find a cure and to get away from humans. And in the meantime, this guy's ex comes over from Russia, and she's a little bit of a crazy one, and she doesn't care who she kills. But then also following her, you've got this hunter coming after her, looking for revenge because she killed his family. And then you've got the Canadian government going after the lead two in the story. And so they all kind of come together to go after this trio. And it's a bit slow. There's nothing really super menacing. You're not scared for their lives every 2 seconds. There's some interesting action scenes, and the plot overall seems like an interesting concept, but it doesn't really lead anywhere too exciting. It was a quick read for me, but really don't recommend it. It wasn't the most fascinating book by David Wellington.
Man, yeah. You're having no luck with books last week.
Yeah, it was kind of a boring one. There was nothing. There were some action scenes, and there were interesting concepts, but there wasn't anything to keep me like reading or in suspense or anything like that. There was also an interesting concept of the hunter that was coming after the ex. He actually shot himself up with or ingested these like silver pills. It's like some kind of liquid that silver is kind of suspended in, that he swallowed and took into his system, and it has turned him blue, which is actually a real thing. You could take these kind of like capsules that have like some kind of silver in them, and like if you ingest them, you will turn blue. There's actual people out there. Like, I looked it up, and there was this guy, I don't remember his name at this point, but he has blue skin. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And that comes in to play an interesting role in the book, because he's made of silver. So if the werewolves try and bite him or whatever, or try and touch him, they'll burn and hurt. And like the lead in the book, the woman, her name was Cheyenne, and she bit down on his arm, and like she just broke all of her teeth, and her like everything kind of turned into mush in her mouth and blood, and it was all gross and everything. So that was an interesting little concept that he added into the world of werewolves. I think that was the only interesting thing in this one. He does kind of take these cliche like monster topics like zombies and vampires and werewolves, and he does always add this interesting little element into it. But I wouldn't really recommend it if you want to read something by David Wellington, your trilogy.
I remember reading, like you said, it was Monster Island, and I think it's free on his website, or it used to be years ago. I don't know if it still is.
But yeah, I'm not sure if it is either, but he had a lot of books and stuff written on his website that you could definitely read for free, so that's totally worth it.
Yeah, and that was good. I liked what there's like a little bit different element to the zombies that he did. There was a little bit more mysticism, I guess, to that. So, disappointing, but we're hearing that this book's not that great, but you know, sometimes you win some, you lose some, I guess. So we go from talking about werewolves to talking about X-Men, because recently, I think the last trailer for X-Men Apocalypse did drop, and we are huge X-Men fans. We are looking forward to this. So, Chuck, curious to hear what you thought. We have, this is like the third trailer I know we've seen. We saw some set photos. We talked about what we thought about Apocalypse before trailers came out. You know, this is the last thing we see before the movie's coming out. What are your thoughts so far?
Well, the thing that really made me happy about this trailer was it kind of put to rest one final concern that I had about the movie, or one, not concern, but one thing that was sort of irking me, because they had resolved the look of Apocalypse, which we all mocked when it first came out, saying that it looked like a Power Rangers villain. So they fixed that and everything. But I was still kind of worried about his voice, because as you guys know, in the 90s X-Men animated series, Apocalypse had this really cool, intimidating, and this voice that just instilled fear. Like, it was, you could tell right away that this guy was like badass just by his voice. And I was wondering how like they were going to convey that, because just having a normal guy kind of talking, it just wasn't doing it for me, like when I had first heard him talking in the first trailer. So when I saw this one and I heard sort of the variation, they were the sort of the echo that they were putting into his voice, like it sounded super creepy and it sounded awesome to me. I was so happy with that, because it really kind of sent the chill up my spine. It really reminded me of the X-Men cartoon from the 90s, like that same sort of, like, there's like a half second echo of whatever he's saying, and it's like it's just really, really cool the way they did it. So I was happy with that. I think Apocalypse is going to be awesome. Obviously, at the end of the trailer, they sort of have a big reveal where you see Wolverine's claws sort of pop out and come on screen, but you only see his hand, or, you know, his fist with the claws. And I've heard some speculation about that they're not really sure what it is. Bryan Singer said don't jump to conclusions yet, but you're going to be happy with it, so nobody really knows what to expect and all that stuff. So that's cool. That's intriguing. And then I would say the final thing is, I think now more than ever, I'm more excited for some of the new younger characters in the movie, like Cyclops, Jean Grey, Nightcrawler. I think this trailer in particular sort of highlighted them more for some reason. Like before, I was kind of thinking them just like an afterthought. Like, okay, there's new young mutants coming up in the school, and this is going to be more about like Xavier and Magneto and Apocalypse and stuff like that. But I kind of changed my mind on that. I think that these new young characters are really going to have a huge impact on this film, and I think I'm going to like it, actually.
Greg, did you get a chance to see it or no?
I did. It looks really good. I agree with Chuck. Apocalypse voice is really cool. I like the fact that they're bringing in the concept that Quicksilver is the son of Magneto, which was really cool and a very funny spot in there. It was the only really funny element that they brought in there. And Apocalypse does look much better. He doesn't look like Ivan Ooze anymore, which is great. It's still a little weird looking to me, and I could get over real quick with that. As Chuck said, yeah, the Cyclops and Jean Grey and Nightcrawler, and you see more Jubilee, and like all these other characters are kind of coming in a little bit more with that, and so we're seeing a little bit more of them. I'm not sure if I like the idea of them kind of bringing in Mystique more as the leader than Xavier. That seems kind of weird to me, but I think they're just trying to bank on Jennifer Lawrence's star ability, which is fine, I guess. Mystique has come and gone as like a hero to villain type, so I guess that really shouldn't bother me as much as it does. But going from the last movie where she was like such the villain to this one where she's like such the hero, it seems like. But I'll have to wait and to see the actual movie fully before I really pass judgment on that, to see how they kind of turn that around. But it looked good from what I can see. I'm really excited to see it. I showed my brother the Doctor Strange trailer and the X-Men trailer. Doctor Strange, he goes, yeah, that looks weird, not interested. And then I showed him the X-Men trailer. He goes, yeah, this is more stuff than like I'd want to see. I'd be interested in seeing this. So it looks good.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned regarding the Mystique stuff. I like Jennifer Lawrence as an actress, but I feel like with this Mystique role, it just seems like she doesn't want to be in the movie, or she doesn't want to be this character anymore. The fact that like she's not blue nearly as much, she's, you know, herself, she's not going into makeup as much, which I get because it's kind of a pain to do that much makeup. But I just wonder if she's going to give her best performance in this, or if it's just going to be like a paycheck for her. So that's, like you said, Greg, if it's just they're putting her in there because she's making money with Hunger Games, or they're like, let's get some of that Hunger Game money.
Let's get that Greg is infatuated with Jennifer Lawrence and wants to ogle her money.
Yeah, so there's a lot of money to get from that. I do agree that Apocalypse looks better and better. I do think X-Men has been an example of wait and see. Maybe, like, you know, we were guilty of it. I'm guilty of myself when we saw the first look of Apocalypse. It looked really bad, but then got to realize, okay, that's an on-set photo. That's the color that he's on set. It's not necessarily going to be the color that's on screen with camera filters and CGI touch-ups. But I was even looking at an article that showed how much the CGI has improved within the trailers from the first and like last trailer. They added a lot more, especially with the Apocalypse scenes. What was just like clouds at one point now has a lot more to it. I'm curious how the new actors are going to work out with as Cyclops and Jean Grey. I do wish they didn't spoil the Wolverine cameo in the trailer. Similar, it's almost like, you know, they saw Marvel show that Spider-Man's going to be there, so they're like, well, we got to show Wolverine's going to be in our movie too, so people are wondering. But I don't know. I'm super excited. This is probably the best trailer they've done for me so far. I'm excited for it, but I don't know. I'm still apprehensive, and I don't really have a reason why. And just part of me just worries that, is this just one step too far? Is this one movie too many? I loved X-Men First Class. I enjoyed X-Men Days of Future Past. It's a lot to live up to. It just seems like this is certainly going to be the last movie with this cast and this director and this team. Hopefully it can live up to the past films. So
I'm all in at this point. Like, I really don't have any reservations about this movie anymore. I think I trust Bryan Singer completely now. You know, we're kind of like six movies in, and five, because Ratner did the third one. But so, which is good, because you take that was the worst one, and that wasn't even done by Singer. So I trust Singer a lot. I think he handles the X-Men very well. He understands them very well. And I have faith that I think he's going to do a great job with this. So
I did have a kind of question for you, and I know you guys probably didn't get a chance to watch this video, but it was on Reddit, and it's X-Men color and costume, and I'll show it in the YouTube, and I'll put it in the show notes on Geekcast Radio, but it's this video essay, and it kind of gets into the X-Men and their costumes and how closely they tie into one another, and there's a lot to it, and I'm probably going to simplify it and trip it somewhat with this, but it's pretty evident that they're not huge fans of the costume choices when it comes to Bryan Singer and the X-Men films. I know a lot of people aren't with the leather, and this idea that, like, by not embracing the costumes, you're not fully embracing the X-Men, or that they need to get rid of the leather and go to the traditional costumes that they, you know, wore in the comics. Do the costumes at all for these X-Men characters at all, you know, any feelings towards them? Would you want them to see more traditional X-Men costumes? Are you okay with, like, you know, the leather costumes that seem to be consistent since the first X-Men movie back in 2000?
I think we're getting a little bit more traditional comic costumes. You've got Psylocke in her what looks to the amateur eye like her costume from the comics, essentially. Olivia Munn looks great in that costume. You've got Jubilee in her trench coat-y type yellow and very like 80s pop kind of look to her. So I think they're giving you that, and you were kind of getting a little bit of the original X-Men comic look with the costumes in First Class. You got a lot of that with the blue and yellows, kind of basic uniform. So I don't
Storm.
Yeah,
in this one, she's got like the little white and black going on, kind of.
Yeah, so I don't see where people are really coming with. They're not giving us the costumes.
I think it's like looking at the, you know, the Cyclops and the Wolverine with, you know, the blue and yellow and, you know, that type of costume.
Well, Wolverine doesn't really use a costume half the time. Half the time he's in his jeans, huge belt buckle and wife beater shirt. So that doesn't bother me too much. The leather did back in the day, but I kind of got used to that. And you don't really see him too much in that kind of garb, especially with these latest ones, I don't think. But yeah, I don't know. I think the costume's been a lot better in the in this latest trilogy of X-Men.
Yeah. I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Chuck?
Yeah, I think I know they're probably speaking more along the lines of like the first three X-Men films.
Yeah.
Those black leather, just plain costumes. It was a little disappointing when they came out, I'll admit, but I also was of the mind that, okay, say they actually did the comic costumes, it would kind of look ridiculous on screen, to be honest. Like, it would just be a shock seeing, like, all these colorful costumes and try to pass off this intensely serious story that they're doing. You know, you kind of wind up looking like Kick-Ass or something, like, with these weird costumes that they would have. So, I mean, unless you're like a huge fan of the X-Men and you realize that the, you know, each one of their costumes represents their individuality and stuff like that, like, you know, to the average movie X-Men fan, I don't think it's as big of a deal. But, you know, it was cool what they did in First Class with the little yellow and blue costume. They were definitely hinting more at the comics while still keeping it sort of sleek and tactical and stuff like that. So I was a fan of that. I thought that was cool. You got a little bit more of it in Days of Future Past. Bishop comes to mind. He looked a little bit more like the comic book costume. We had the red handkerchief and the big holsters and everything for his guns and stuff. So they are moving towards that, as Greg was saying before. But I think... Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed at the beginning, but only because I'm such a fan of the comics. But like, I also realized that you can go too far getting into that. And, you know, like the Avengers have done the same thing. Like, Captain America is a bright, colorful character in the comics, but they kind of toned it down in the movies, like tried to make it look more tactical. Like, they made the stripes, you know, built into the suit, like they're the seams of his suit, like where it's not just like these random stripes. Like, it's, and I think you do have to do those things when you're adapting comic book costumes to movies. You sort of have to make it look like it would in real life if someone was trying to wear tactical gear that was, you know, beneficial to them in a fight and stuff like that. So I don't have a huge problem with how much they're changing them, unless they make it look awful, like absolutely awful. But, you know, I don't mind too much. I think it looks pretty good what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I think it's, when you think of the X-Men too, like, again, when it started in 2000, what came before? Comic book movies were the video game movies of that time, really, where nothing ever really succeeded besides Batman. I mean, and Superman. But even, you know, there were two good Batman movies, and then, or maybe one good, one okay, and then two bad, and then you had Superman that came and went, and a lot of the other characters, you know, think of those Captain America movies from the 70s, which were god-awful, and they were coming at a time where comic book movies were never taken seriously. You know, Blade comes out in, like, 98, and changes a little bit, and also, but by showing that comic book movies can almost not even feel like a comic book movie. So in 2000, I think it made sense the direction that they did. You know, Matrix is hot at the time. They have those almost like leather uniforms. So they used that as a way to find a way for them to have a sort of costume, but not be super like the comics. But I think you also make a good point, Chuck, about them being serious. And I think that's a key point, that it's possible for, I think, to use authentic looking costumes that look like the comics, but depending on what your movie is, like, it works for Deadpool because that's a surreal film that's comedic, and it's not meant to be all that serious. I think the Avengers as well, it's easier because even that, it's not nearly as totally as serious as the X-Men films tend to be. And like you even mentioned, those costumes are still dialed down. Like, Hawkeye is not wearing his purple with his weird looking headgear, and he's you know, more the X-Men ultimate version of it. You know, Captain America, this costume's changed every time, but looking at the one in the Avengers is probably the most like the comic book version, and to me it's my least favorite one of all the movies. I enjoy his one in First Avenger a lot more. I probably Winter Soldier with the simple blue stripe and white I liked a lot more. I wouldn't be against them like getting more comic book ready like they had in First Class. I really like those, but I remember when Images first came out of the X-Men First Class movie and people thought they looked awful and they didn't look any good, and then once it came out people were fine with it. So I think it'd be I'd be okay with it if they're like, okay, let's move away from the leather and black and try to add in more color. That would be fine. I just don't know if you'd ever get something that was super like 100% authentic looking like the costumes. And I mean, some of them work, some of them don't. Like the Cyclops costume, you look at the one in the 90s, the one now, it's I don't know how you make that work. I don't see any of those truly working on screen, and I do think it's something that you do have to change things. I mean, some things that work in the movies don't always work on screen. I think Captain America First Avenger shows us that, where he's in the traditional Captain America garb as in the USO show, and you're like, wow, that looks kind of ridiculous. But
well, that's a good point, because even Wolverine, which is like probably the X-Men's toughest character, you know, the most badass character, you know, throw him in bright yellow spandex, and like, what does that do to his first impressions, like when you see him on screen? You know what I mean? It kind of takes away a little bit from his badassness, like not a little bit, a lot actually. I mean, other than pink, what color is going to take away the most manhood? Like probably yellow. So it's kind of like hard to sell that on a movie screen, especially with a serious tone like that. Like people aren't going to take it seriously. So.
Yeah. Hopefully, like if they do, it would maybe be the brown uniform, which may be a little bit more. Yeah,
which I like that one anyway. I've always liked that one. But.
Cool. I'm just curious to hear what you guys thought about that too. Because I'm like, I get what the video is well made. It's really done well. I kind of disagree with a lot of what he's saying, which is fine. It's good to listen to, so you should check it out for sure. There was another trailer that I actually did not get to see, but you guys did too. And speaking of adapting comics, adapting one of the most iconic of all time, the trailer for The Killing Joke also dropped. What were you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it looked interesting. I think story-wise, it'll be really cool. You don't really get too much on that. You get little elements, and what you do get is it seems like direct from the graphic novel or the comic series. So I'm not going to comment too much on that. The animation wise, it looked like they were trying to go back to like 90s Batman kind of look, but then there were some weird elements to it.
Yeah.
It seems like the style changes kind of from scene to scene, like the where Joker's right at the door with a gun and everything, they show that. And that seems like a lot more artistically done, the cooler of all the images that you kind of see. But then where he's kind of sitting in the jail cell and you see the Joker's kind of like in the darkness a little bit, there's like this weird, almost like painterly quality to it to kind of disguise him. And then you've got it mixed in with Batman coming in, who's kind of like 90s Batman, but not as well done for some reason. So story-wise, that looks interesting and cool. Looks-wise, with the characters, it's a little off, if you ask me. I don't think there's like a singular style there, really. And I think if you see Jim Gordon in the background, he looks really weird. The design of him just looks really off for some reason. But I'm definitely going to check it out because it is Batman and the Killing Joke and DC animated stuff, which is usually pretty decent. So what'd you think, Chuck?
Yeah, that's interesting. I really don't have any issues with the look of it at all. Of course, I don't have the artistically trained eye like yourself, but I did like the one shot of the Joker. Like it was kind of like right out of the comic where it was like the Joker with his hands on his head, sort of with his fingers in between his hair. I don't know if you remember that shot, but
that where his fingers are interlaced and he's got his head resting back into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like kind of right out of the comic. I thought that looked awesome, that particular shot. Maybe there were some other scenes that didn't quite look right, but I noticed like there was kind of two versions of the trailer that I found.
Oh, really? I only saw one, so.
Yeah, the one didn't really have a lot of dialogue in it. It was just kind of a lot of scenes, and they were playing sound effects and stuff, but it was like fight scenes and action scenes and stuff. And there was like, I felt like something was missing. Like it was incomplete. Cause I'm like, where is the dialogue? Like no one's talking. And,
did they at least have music running over the top of
it? There was music. And then there was like sound effects and stuff from like, you know, things breaking or like, you know, grunting and different things. And it just felt like it was like half done sort of like, I don't know, maybe that's the reason that that wasn't, I thought it was the main trailer from what I saw, but there was another one that started off with just like a really soft kind of piano playing, and like you see like Arkham and everything, and you see Batman walking into the Joker's cell, and he like, you know, he's playing solitaire or whatever, and he sits down in front of him and he says, I want to talk with you about us and stuff like that. He's like,
I want to talk about a relationship.
Yes. Yeah, basically. You know, either you're going to kill me or I'm going to kill you.
This is the one I saw, yes.
Stuff like that. I thought that version was a lot better than the other one. So if that's the one that you saw, then you're probably lucky, because I did enjoy that one better. But I thought that was really cool. And just that they're really getting into that, like how they're really are like the two opposite sides of the same coin, because and like they, you know, Batman realizes that, and that's like he actually goes to discuss it with him, which is kind of funny, but it's like this really interesting take on it. And the Joker really doesn't say anything in the trailer, he just kind of laughs. And another part that I was pretty interested in was I think it was more towards the end, maybe the middle or the end, but they show Bruce kind of talking to Alfred about the Joker and everything and his relationship with the Joker. And he's saying, like, I don't know who he is any more than he knows who I am. And I thought it was cool because Alfred's like, are you sure about that? And, you know, Bruce is kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, like, I'm the detective and everything. Like, you could hear the, you know, the inflection in his voice kind of and stuff. And Alfred was like, I'm just saying you should never underestimate him, you know. And like that really like epitomizes that relationship, you know, because like the Joker is just pure chaos, and when Batman might underestimate him, that's kind of when he sort of gets, you know, gets the drop on him and stuff like that. So I thought that was interesting that Alfred was chiming in like that, and that was a pretty cool element. So really, really excited that Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill are back, because to me, like, as soon as I hear those two, it's like, this is Batman and Joker. Like, it's just, there's no question in my mind. These are my two favorite voice actors for these roles. And obviously, there's been some other decent ones that have done an admirable job. But I think, you know, Mark Hamill's Joker is just iconic. And so is Kevin Conroy's Batman. It's just, when I hear those voices, there's just nothing else that comes to mind other than that. They are those characters to me. So I think I'm going to enjoy it a lot.
Very cool. I will have to check it out for sure. And I feel like when it comes to DC Animated and it comes to adapting a single comic, they seem to do it pretty well. So they do have a good track record there. But all right, anything else before we take a quick break? Alrighty, what we're gonna do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna be debuting a new game as we try to face off food in a new way, virtually in audio format. So should be fun. We'll see how it goes. We'll see you in a bit.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. And we, hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we, okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on,
no.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, today we're playing a game called Food Face Off. For some reason, when we often talk about food, people seem to love it, so we figured let's try to create a game around that. And it's simple as we're going to talk about two different types of food and determine which one we feel is superior, but maybe add in a little bit of a caveat of, you know, location and all that good stuff. So we'll see how it goes. And you know, when it comes to the movie theaters, what goes hand in hand with that, of course, is food. But I think people have different go-tos when it comes to theater food. So for you guys, you have the option of the classic movie theater popcorn, or are you going more so with the movie theater candy? Because it's a tough choice sometimes.
It is. I would say myself personally, I'm more of the candy guy. I usually don't buy too much candy at the theater because it's like $5 a box.
Yeah.
But so the popcorn is probably the better deal because you get like a huge tub of it and everything. But occasionally I will get some candy because I'm a huge Reese's Pieces fan. Like, I don't know what it is, but I freaking love Reese's Pieces. That's my go-to, I think, if I were to, get some candy at a movie. I know you can get the same box at like the dollar store. And like it's literally identical. You could just bring it in, probably, but
yeah, that might happen occasionally. Kids, who knows?
not that I condone that. Kids, you shouldn't do that. Don't ever do that. But wink, wink. but yeah, big. I'd say I'm a big candy guy more so than the popcorn stuff.
Greg, do you have a preference?
Yeah, I don't really go for popcorn that much at movie theaters. It's you're chewing on it the whole time and it's very crunchy. And so you kind of hear it up in your head. So you can't hear the movie too much. Then plus if you're on a date with a girl, like popcorn mouth isn't the best to be kissing with after the movies and stuff. So I usually go with candy as well. I also love the Reese's Pieces, Chuck. Yes. But recently I've been going with, they have, cookie dough little candy. So it's like a chocolate chip cookie dough little things nice. In a box. And I love cookie dough. I love chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. It's my favorite ice cream. So I usually go with that kind of stuff anymore.
Are they called salmonella bites?
No, they're not called salmonella bites. I think they do it without the eggs on how they make the candy. But I usually go with those, and I just down a box of those before the previews are even over. It's really bad, and I do smuggle in candy.
Nice, yeah. See, I feel like with popcorn, it's like the snack that keeps on giving even when you don't want it to. Like, stuck in your teeth, it's like you got weird, like, that, like, dry popcorn, like you said, popcorn mouth, which is like the weirder version of hoof and mouth disease, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and then you get like that those little hard pieces that are spot welded to the roof of your mouth.
It's a treat with a lot of side effects. It's like if it was medication, it'd have like 5 minutes of side effects before the commercial was over.
And then you'll get like an unpopped piece and you'll put it in your mouth and you'll bite down and nearly break your teeth on it.
Jeez, yeah. So, man, a lot of negatives when it comes to popcorn. I do enjoy some movie theater popcorn. I remember I was playing on a local like soccer league around here, and one of the girls that was it was a co-ed league, and one of the girls worked at the movie theater, and the one day after the game we were hanging out, and she opens up the trunk of her car and she has this gigantic garbage bag. It's like, what's in it? And she opens it up. It's popcorn. Because, like, at the end of the night, you know, they throw some of the excess away. So we're just there, like, munching on all this. It was very good. It was actually better than usually when I have it. And I usually like it warm. But it was, if you get a good theater with good popcorn, it tastes delicious. But I'm going to go candy, too. I guess I'm the weird guy. I'm a big fan of Crunch-A-Bunch. Like, that's my go-to.
What's Crunch-A-Bunch?
Crunch-A-Bunch? It's like Crunch, you know, the candy bar Crunch.
Nestle Crunch?
It's Nestle Crunch. It's like that, but smaller. It's like chocolate. It's like milk chocolate with a little bit of not nuts. I don't know what they call them. There's whatever they use for crunch.
The Rice Krispies kind of thingy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's right next to, it's probably right next to your Reese's Pieces, but you guys are too focused on that. I guess E.T. really.
Reese's Pieces are awesome.
Love is blind.
They're good. They're a good time, but I had the good cookie dough things that you talk about too. Those are pretty good.
There's never enough of those in the package. It seems like there's like never enough.
No, there's not.
I will say, popcorn wise, I do enjoy not the movie popcorn, but the white cheddar popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you get it around Christmas time in the tins and stuff like that. Or, you know, maybe you can even buy it in like a box at the store or something. But that white cheddar popcorn is amazing. That stuff.
I had white cheddar popcorn. There was a popcorn little stand at the Brewfest, and I had a giant bag. It was like $4 for this huge bag, and it took me forever to eat it. And it was like keeping me full. I was drinking beer. It was a nice beer food to have.
By the time you're done, it's equivalent to like an entire block of white cheddar cheese.
Pretty much. It was delicious, though. But my hands kept getting messy, and I kept getting on my glass, and my glass was disgusting as I was handing it to people to give me more beer. So,
hey, it's cheese. It's forgivable.
I got to give credit to the movie theaters that have like the little flavor bar with all the different seasonings you can throw on it, like the white cheddar or like the nachos or whatever. Not just butter, but like to add a little bit of kick to it, too. It's like, it is good, but you know, candy's more consistent. It's hard to screw that up. Very cool. All right, well, let's move on to another one here. I feel like I know you guys would be going with this, but it can be a hard one to choose from because you know we like hoagies in our subs or sandwiches, and there are a lot of great ones to choose from. I think two that are kind of on the same spectrum, but for different enough for this. You know, you would have your cheesesteaks against your pulled pork sandwiches, which one do you prefer and go to? I think I know, but, you know.
It's going to depend on where you get the food and stuff, too. I like the Philly cheesesteaks. I was down in Philly, like, during the fall, and I ate a ton of Philly cheesesteaks. But up here in the east, the northeast, you're not finding a lot of great pulled pork. I had some great pulled pork down when I was in Kansas City and everything, and I do make my own pulled pork, which is freaking delicious. So that's a really tough one.
Greg pulls pork all the time.
Yeah. Consistently in the Northeast, I'm going to go with cheesesteak because we do that better up here, and that's where we live. But otherwise, it'd be pretty damn close if we had a good pulled pork place to get barbecue around here that's really good. So I'm going to go with the Philly cheesesteak.
Chuck, what about you?
I'm shocked by that, Greg. I am.
I do love my barbecue, but we don't have any good places up here. So if I'm going to go with where I live, I got to go with the more consistent food of the Philly cheesesteak.
If you had to choose like your favorite cheesesteak versus your favorite pulled pork, would you go pulled pork?
My pulled pork that I do is really damn good. I don't usually make that a pulled pork sandwich. I take it off and I can't even really smash it before people are picking meat off of it and everything. So, which isn't really a sandwich. It's just the meat and just grabbing as much and shoving it into your face where it's just good. I don't even put a sauce on it. It's just that good.
Nice. Chuck?
I would say... myself personally, I do enjoy pulled pork a lot when it's very good, but I would say I'm definitely more of a cheesesteak guy. Not a huge fan of the Philly ones, like Pat's and Gino's. They're good, they're decent, but not my favorite by any means. I have a couple of places up where I live that I really do enjoy. One of them is the place we always meet when we go for comics.
Which has Papa's. The best pizza. And you guys always order cheesesteak, and it always disheartens me completely.
I mean, their pizza's good too, but it's literally like the best cheesesteak I've ever had. So like I can't not get it when I go. And it's not just me either. They've been voted the best cheesesteak in the county for a few times, if I'm not mistaken. So... they've won some awards and stuff like that, but and then there's another place by me too that I also enjoy their cheesesteaks a lot. So I would say like my favorite cheesesteak versus like the best pulled pork, I would definitely pick cheesesteak. But I think Greg, I would recommend you. I don't know the last time you've been or if you've ever been to the Bloomsburg Fair at all.
Way back when I got a block of fried cheese that was delicious.
Which, for those that don't know, the Bloomsburg Fair is the state fair of Pennsylvania. And it's a big place, a really cool fair. Tons of food, like any kind of food you can think of. But there are some really good pork barbecue places there, and I did get I think I've gotten pulled pork there before and brisket and everything, and it's usually pretty darn good.
I have been making brisket. Brisket is really good.
Yeah, it's probably not like Kansas City quality or like North Carolina quality or Texas or places like that, but it's probably for around here. Like it's probably
good for around here. Yeah, the Northeast isn't known for our barbecue, so
right. Yeah,
Daniel.
Yeah, see, I kind of have the opposite issue with you guys because like I have probably, you know, I'm in Maryland, Baltimore area, and I have like I would say two and a half places that I can get a solid cheesesteak from. But I've had some really good ones in Philly. I think Pat and Gino's are more tourist attractions. I've had better ones in other locations. But I still think...
You got to go to South Street for gyms. Or there was another place that we found the one night, me and my brother, when we were really drunk. We went to this place called Sal's, I think it was. I don't remember what street that on, but that was a really good one as well.
I used to go to this place near Tyler, the art school, because my brother-in-law went there, and there was this little hole in the wall joint. It was delicious. But I think, like Chuck, probably my favorite still is Papa's, which is why I, again, pizza cheesesteak, I go cheesesteak, like I said, just because it's hard
bacon
for me to get it.
Pizza!
It's hard for me to get it. I can get a good pizza more places than I can get a good cheesesteak, especially in Baltimore. We have a lot of great pulled pork places, though. But also, like about pulled pork, is that you can do a lot of different things when it comes to the flavoring. Mm-hmm. Like recently, I've been doing a lot of pulled pork, buffalo chicken pulled pork, which has been really good. It's a good time. It's delicious. But I put buffalo in everything, so I might enjoy it more than most people. But I don't know. I enjoy myself a good cheesesteak more so than anything. It might be like in my top two favorite foods of all time. It's a good time. It's hard for me to determine cheesesteak or chicken cheesesteak. Sometimes you could go for either. A little deli near my work, they actually came up with the hybrid, which was a combo chicken cheesesteak and regular cheesesteak. And it may be, to me, a sign that peace can happen in the earth, the fact that they can combine both a chicken cheesesteak and a regular cheesesteak and make it so delicious. So
that's witchcraft right there.
Yeah, it is. But it works. It's so good. I'll even put like barbecue sauce on a good cheesesteak. I'm getting really hungry right now.
The next time you come up, Dan, if you're a fan of chicken cheesesteaks as well, I would recommend this one place. And I think Greg knows it because it's pretty close to him. The Loading Dock.
Yes.
Yeah.
They actually have a really, really good chicken cheesesteak there. So I'll have to check that out. But yeah, you're right. Chicken cheesesteaks are very good as well if they're done correctly. Also, if we ever get the chance, I would love to take you guys out to Penn State one day and show you the places out there. Because there was this place I used to go to with my one friend down there. It was called The First, and it was spelled PHYRST.
They are a frequent commenter on the internet. They're always commenting first.
Yeah. But they had really good cheesesteaks. That was my go-to place down at Penn State for a cheesesteak. And that was also a popular bar. Like the bar was down sort of in the sub-level, and you could get the cheesesteaks on the first floor, but also very good. So if we ever get the chance to go out there to check that out.
Nice, yep. Nice.
How do you guys like your cheesesteak? Like kind of like you like you order at Pat's or Gino's, you have like you get your whiz wit, which is cheese whiz with pepper and onions, or do you like provolone without so without the peppers and onions? How do you order?
I like American cheese, typically real American cheese, not whiz. And then ketchup and mayonnaise, and that's it. Like, that's all I need. Then, like, I don't like lettuce typically. I don't like peppers and stuff on it. I like to keep it simple.
Yeah, I like, I also like the American cheese on it, but it has to be mixed thoroughly in with the steak all the way through.
Exactly. Don't throw it on top at the end. That's cheating. That's not cheesesteak.
I've had people do that. Just put like a ladle of hot cheese over top of the steak. No, it tastes like garbage. Okay, it's not how you do it. You got to mix it in thoroughly, cover all the surface area with the cheese, and then my personal touch, I just like to have lettuce and mayonnaise on it. And it's sort of like a California cheesesteak minus the tomato. I don't like tomato on it, but yeah, that's the way I like mine. And a nice toasted bun too, like a crispy sort of bun.
Yeah. The bun's also a very important part that people forget, because you don't have a good bun, it doesn't work. One that falls apart, it can't handle the awesomeness of the cheesesteak. It just doesn't work, you know. What about you, Greg?
I go whiz without. I like the whiz because it does get into all the nooks and crannies because it's a liquid cheese gold. And I just do meat cheese bun, kind of like my boss. He orders sandwiches. He doesn't like any of the vegetables or anything. He goes meat cheese bun. I go the same for my Philly cheesesteak. It's just the steak, the cheese, and the bun. Very simplistic, very zen, very delicious.
I do like my cheesesteak zen. That's usually I sometimes ask for extra zen when I order them.
Cool. Guacamole is extra.
Oh, no, it's guacamole is extra. All right. These maybe two more broader ones here. Those are kind of specific foods. These are kind of general types of food. But I think ones that are related, because sometimes you want, like, late at night, you have a lot of options, pizzas there, but sometimes you want to go Chinese, you want to go Mexican. Guess
have
a preference.
Oh, this is an easy one for me.
What is it for you?
I love Asian women. I don't love Asian food. Yeah, Asian food.
That did not go where I'm like, where's this going? And then no.
No, it has to do with women. That's the one of the only things that matter. It's like food, women, and what else is there? Comic books are up there, definitely. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm not the biggest fan of Chinese food or any of that kind of stuff. I'm not a big sushi fan. There is a dish that I do enjoy at one local Chinese restaurant. It's like this hot chicken and peanuts thing where it's just like a pile of like diced up chicken with like a hot sauce on it, and it's like mixed in with chunks of celery, and that's it. It's delicious. It's very simplistic. It doesn't have like all these like like you put a little blue cheese in there and it's pretty much hot wings and like you're good to go. But I don't like Chinese food. I love Mexican food, on the other hand. We have a place down in Wilkes-Barre that I get this it's like chicken, chorizo, refried beans, some fried rice, and then you tuck it all into a nice tortilla shell. It's nice and warm, and oh, it's so good. And then I love going to Chipotle. If I want to go really junky, I love Taco Bell as well. Yeah, it's, and I just had my mom made some kind of like Mexican food thing that's not really Mexican food. It was like just some chicken with some enchilada sauce, some refried beans, rice, and then we throw black olives in pretty much everything at our house. So there's some black olives in there, and then you just topped with some cheese on the outside as it's rolled up in a tortilla, put in the oven, some cheese on there, nice and gooey and delicious. Then I put a little sour cream, and there's this Ortega has this like bottle of like red sauce that I like to put on there. And I do love my guac when I can get it, or if I don't have like sour cream or something, it's fine just going straight avocado on there too. I also like it that way.
Nice. You should have been. We had a game night the other night. For the game night, we did an open taco bar, which was
ooh, yeah.
Yeah, queso, guac. You know,
queso. Yeah, that's the thing. We have Moe's and we have Chipotle. I like the burritos from Chipotle, but then at Moe's you've got the freaking queso, which is delicious, and freaking Chipotle doesn't have any kind of queso.
That's I know it's criminal. Like they didn't even step up on that, but. Chuck, you have a preference when it comes to, I know last week you went to, I think, a Chinese restaurant, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that.
Hibachi.
I went to a Japanese hibachi.
So those are two different countries, so that was racist. but you have a preference when it comes to Chinese food or Mexican food?
I will say that's a very, very tough one. I do love me some Chinese food. I think my favorites being good old General So's. That's a go-to.
Gross.
Big fan of that. Also, the orange chicken. I really, really like orange chicken.
Yeah.
Never had it.
It's surprisingly orangey. Like, it really does taste very orangey. But it's good. It's very nice. Now, I don't know about you, Dan. I tend to opt for the white rice rather than the pork fried rice.
I used to go. It depends. I'm fine with either usually.
If I do have to have Chinese food, I go white rice as well, Chuck.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. The white rice seems like it brings out more of the flavor of the other stuff. Yeah.
Well, it just absorbs it. It's like a piece of paper in the culinary world.
Plus, I don't like the nasty pink chunks of pork in the pork fried rice. But yeah, those two things I do enjoy. But I think I'm going to have to go Mexican here. There's just so many more things that I love on the Mexican side of it. Like, I love tacos, hard tacos or hard shell tacos or soft shell tacos, beef tacos. I love steak fajitas are amazing. I love, grilled chicken burritos with chorizo, which Greg mentions, like the Mexican sausage.
Oh.
That tastes amazing, especially when you, douse it with queso. It's just like,
it's so much better than regular sausage.
Yeah, it really is. I can't explain it, but I guess there's a little bit of a kick to it,
Yeah.
But it's not too spicy that it's like overbearing. It's like just enough. There's this one thing that restaurant you talked about I always get. It's called the Burrito San Jose. It's like my favorite thing. It's just this gigantic burrito on a plate and it's just smothered in queso.
Yeah, all Mexican food, almost all of it, looks disgusting, but it is delicious.
Yeah. So I think I'd really just like plain tacos, like, throw some salsa, cheese and lettuce on it and, maybe a little dab of sour cream I like on there. But I'll just eat like 8 of them if I could. It's really amazing. So, yeah, I'd have to go Mexican, I think, over the Chinese.
Yeah, one thing I think for Chinese, though, it's if you can get a good Chinese buffet. Chinese buffets can go a lot of different directions. It could be the worst thing ever, but if you get a really good one, it's hard to beat a good Chinese buffet with a lot of good options. I'm a General Tso's fan. I like orange chicken. There's also this type of chicken that it's hard to find. Not many places do it, but it's called like Hong Kong chicken, and it's kind of like orange chicken, but it's a little bit sweeter, and it's delicious. And I've only it's hard to very few places actually serve it. I don't know why that is, but I am too a huge fan of Mexican food. It's it is delicious. Love me some enchiladas. I think too is the benefit of Mexican food is it's pretty easy to make. The ingredients are rather simple and it's always delicious. Where I don't think I ever made Chinese food. I've made like chicken and broccoli and stuff like that.
You can make like a stir fry isn't too hard to make.
Yeah, that's true. But I like Chinese food. My wife's more like I usually eat it because my wife wants it, and I'm like, I don't know, okay, fine. But I crave Mexican food on very very many occasions, and I too like Chipotle, but I tend to enjoy Qdoba more because I do have the queso, because that's how you do it, because queso is important. A good queso. And this weekend when we had that taco bar, I actually got this new queso on the taco with guac and sour cream, and it was just nice. It was a taco wrap of deliciousness that I enjoyed. It was like I just started going on this 21-day fix. So this podcast is brutal for me right now because I'm just thinking of everything I can't eat. But that was like the thing I had before we started going on it. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go from this to having my my peppers for my snack. I can't wait for that. That's my midnight snack for today. But yeah, so I think I'm going to get a clean sweep and I'll go with Mexican food too because it's, it's a good time.
I will say one other good thing for Chinese. I don't know if you've ever had it. It's called coconut chicken.
I have not. I'm not a coconut fan though, so I don't know.
Well, I'm not either though, but if you ever get the chance to try this, definitely give it a whirl because it's sort of like it's more of like a coconut sauce, sort of like it's a creamy.
So you don't have the chewiness from the coconut?
Right. It's not like shredded coconut at all. It's not like that at all. It's more of like probably like, boiled down into a sauce sort of. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's really creamy over the chicken. I've only ever been to one buffet that had it. And it was amazing. Like it was really, really good. And I have yet to find another place that serves coconut chicken, but, if you ever see it, give it a try because it's pretty amazing.
Okay. Another recommendation for Chinese food is the barbecue spare ribs are good.
Yeah. Funny story with that. So my sister-in-law, she was out with her family at a Chinese restaurant, and they thought they were giving their one kid a barbecue spare rib. He's about, I think, 3 or so, but it was like actually a really hot pepper. And oh. Yeah, so that turned...
Because those spare ribs are like this bright red that's weird.
Yeah, so that turned nasty rather quickly. So what about, again, another general one, we went Mexican and Chinese. Well, what about good old-fashioned barbecue or Italian?
You know I like making my barbecue.
Yeah.
That is tough because if you get a really good barbecue, it's excellent. I've gone to Gates down in Kansas City, and that was delicious. Arthur Bryant's was really good as well. So, yeah, that one's really tough for me. I'm going to go with barbecue, though, I think, because it's just meats, and I love all different sorts of meats that are going on. With Italian food, there's different dishes, and it gets a little bit more diversified, and there's a lot more dishes where you can have something that's probably not going to hit all my favorite foods or have something in there that I'm not going to enjoy. And then there's different sauces that people have that I may not enjoy over the other. So that one's a lot more diversified, I think. So I'm going to go with barbecue, because if somebody has an Italian sauce, or some people call it gravy for like spaghetti, if it's like a chunky sauce, I'm not into the chunks. I like nice smooth sauce. I'm not a fan of chunks of tomatoes in anything. I don't know why people say I'm weird for liking like spaghetti sauce and ketchup, but not liking tomatoes.
What about meat sauce?
Meat sauce is totally fine. It's okay. Totally cool.
Yeah. All right, we're still friends.
Yeah. Or if there's like hunks of onions, I hate chunks of onions and things. I'm not a big fan. So because of that, I'm going to go with barbecue, where it's just meat and different types of sauces going on. You don't really have like chunks of weird stuff in there that I'm not going to enjoy. So I'm going to go with barbecue. So it wasn't as hard as you thought it was going to be, Dan.
I know. I thought we'd be here for years. I guess
I did actually smoke something, started off my barbecue season. I smoked some, this is going to sound funny, I smoked some sausage. Nice. It was really good. It was a nice Italian sausage smoked over some hickory. It was really good. It was really good, Chuck. The sausage was delicious. I just stuck it in the back of my throat.
But not as good as Mexican sausage.
And so. I chewed it and swallowed it. It was delicious.
It's got really creepy whispering. Really fast. That is good.
I would rather you scream it than whisper it.
My parents are asleep, so I will not.
I touched the sausage.
I touched the sausage. It was really long and firm, but it was delicious. It was nice and salty.
Sounds like the Batman voice from the Batman vs. Superman.
Tell me, do you bleed?
Tell me, hey Chuck, do you prefer? Would you go with barbecue or would you go with Italian?
Big fan of both. I do love barbecue. That's, you know, pretty much all about the meat. I am a huge meat fan in its various forms.
Are you a huge meat fan, Chuck?
It's all about the meat.
Huge meat.
It is. It is mostly about the meat, but
all about the meat. No veggies. I guess is the, you know.
The one thing, though, that it is also about for me, which Italian food has in abundance of and barbecue does not, and that is cheese. I'm a huge fan of cheese. Lots of different kinds of cheese.
You can smoke cheese.
You can, but you don't see it as much.
Smoked Gouda?
I don't like smoked cheese, really. I don't know.
You need to go to Orance in Duryea. They have a smoked Gouda bacon mac and cheese. I am like, on just regular mac and cheese. This stuff is fucking delicious.
Quick's getting all psyched up here. Yeah, I mean, I'm open to anything for sure. But I mean, all the Italian dishes, like mixing the different meats and cheeses and pastas, of course. You know, there's this great place around here called Rossi's that I'm a big fan of. I really like their Italian food, and a couple other good places as well. I do enjoy Olive Garden. I know a lot of people hate on Olive Garden, but I don't know. There's certain things there that I do enjoy. I usually get the stuffed chicken marsala, which is like, there's like a, you know, it's chicken stuffed again with like a bunch of cheese. So I'm a big fan of it. So I like that there. And of course, like some other places, I love their lasagna and different things. My mom makes this awesome spaghetti with meat sauce that I absolutely love. So yeah, I think I'm going to have to go Italian with the slight edge over barbecue.
See, for me, this is rather easy, because I've never been, like, I enjoy Italian food, but it's never, I don't know, I never crave it. It's just something I eat when occasionally I enjoy it, but I'm more of a barbecue fan for sure. I do like my meat. I am all about the meat. Not as much about the cheese, so maybe that's the key. Is like, whatever that barbecue may be, I'm a fan. I'm going to go with it, so. We do have this in Baltimore. We have a little, like many cities, we have a place called Little Italy, and they have so many amazing Italian restaurants. And it's really cool too. On Fridays during the summertime, you can go to restaurants, get your food, go outside, and they play a movie like out in the street. So you're like sitting in the street watching a film, eating really good Italian food. So that's a good time when we're able to.
That sounds awesome.
That's a fun time when you can do that. Don't do it that much. You don't see that many with barbecue places. So, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Also, I got to toot the horn quick for penne alla vodka, which is the vodka sauce over the penne pasta. That is amazing. I freaking love vodka sauce.
Nice.
On anything, really. Even like vodka sauce pizza. Like, I love it. it's just amazing. I don't even know.
Well, speaking of pizza, let's maybe make this the last one for today.
Well, I have a secret one. I have a secret bonus round one.
Oh, okay, so I didn't ask you if you guys even had any. I apologize.
That's all right.
So this is, again, more general, but I was trying to figure out how a way to do this. So going to go with the best pizza, your favorite pizza, or your favorite type of sandwich. I know we talked about cheesesteaks and pulled pork, but I know there's other sandwiches out there. Favorite sandwich, favorite pizza. What would you go with?
For pizza, are we just going with toppings, the place we're getting it, style of pizza?
Basically, we could go out tonight. You have a choice. You can go to the place that has your favorite types of pizza, whatever that may be, like this restaurant or this place or this type. Or we can go to whatever location or make your own, whatever it is, your favorite sandwich. You have the choice. Where would you go?
See, I'm not a huge sandwich fan other than like cheesesteak, chicken bacon ranch hoagie, or hot wing hoagie, that kind of stuff. So
chicken,
if you're
farm Italian.
Yeah. No, I don't do Italian. I don't like Italian hoagies. I don't like Italian hoagies.
Communist.
Sorry. But yeah, see, like that, and then like normal sandwiches, like you just have like ham and cheese, like that kind of sandwich, that's doing nothing for me. So if you're giving me a sandwich like a hoagie, I'd go with like a chicken parm hoagie is one of my favorite, or a meatball hoagie. But other than that, I'm not really a huge sandwich fan if it's just like a normal, like, white bread with some cheese and meat in it. It's I'm not looking forward to that meal. But pizza-wise, there's a shit ton of pizza in this area. If I'm going to Papa's, it's bacon, because it's got nice crispy bacon, and the way they bake their pizza, it's like the dough is almost essentially fried, so it's got all this nice crunch and salty goodness going on there. Old school nostalgic choice, go with Ravello's. It's got stuff called Old Forge style pizza, because it's in Old Forge, and it's pizza like with just an American cheese kind of on the top of it. That's really good. That would be my nostalgic choice. And plus, they've got double crusted white pizza. Essentially, it's like a grilled cheese in like pizza form. Delicious. Freaking, I would eat a whole tray of that if I could. And I have eaten a whole tray of the red pizza there, which is a record in my family, because I downed a whole tray of pizza by myself. Yeah, there's other great local choices. Like around here, you Domino's is just kind of meh. Pizza Hut's kind of meh. There's so many great local pizzerias in our area that it's tough to get one of those like chain places to really do that well. But yeah, those are my choices for pizza.
Greg, or sorry, Chuck, are you more the sandwich guy or more the pizza guy?
I think I'm slightly more of the sandwich guy. I do love pizza, though. I like pizza from a lot of different places. I tend to go more like, I don't know how many people out there have heard of like Old Forge style. It's pretty popular, pretty famous, but I'm not a huge, huge fan of Old Forge style. I do enjoy it from time to time, but I'm more of like just the regular New York style round pizza. I love that. There's a few places around that have that I have preference for that, and it's really, really good. But I think like just the variety in a sandwich for me, like most of the time I would opt for the sandwich, probably like 7 or 8 times out of 10 I would go with the sandwich. You know, like I mentioned before how much I like cheesesteaks or chicken cheesesteaks, things like that. Buffalo chicken hoagies I'm a huge fan of. Anything with buffalo chicken. I've even had like something around here, which I was hoping caught on more, but it hasn't yet so far. And that's going back to what I just mentioned last time, the vodka sauce. It's a chicken sandwich with vodka sauce over it. And that was amazing. I was really hoping that would catch on, but it hasn't yet. So like, there's just so many sandwiches I enjoy. There's even like cold sandwiches, big Italian hoagie fan, a lot of things with, you know, like different cold cut grinders and things like that with pepperoni and different things. Like I love my sandwiches. I'm a big sandwich guy. So I think if it really came down to it, probably 8 times out of 10, I would definitely choose the sandwiches.
Yeah, I am a sandwich. I do, again, pizza. You know, who doesn't love pizza? Even when pizza's bad, it's good. And I even love cold pizza the next day. That's always a good time. But I think I'd go sandwich. Probably my favorite place to go for sandwiches is this place near me called Chaps. It's been on a few of those like Food Channel things, like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and Man vs. Food, and it's a little legitimately. It's almost like overgrown shack in a way, right next to a strip club, because that's the best way to do it, I guess. But my favorite sandwich there is actually called the Gus. It's really simple. It's just ham, corned beef, and turkey. But then I add in, get some jalapenos because you need a little bit of spice, some tiger sauce, which is kind of like horseradish a little bit with more kick to it, and barbecue sauce. And it's just so much deliciousness. And the meat there is made there, and it's, you know, slowly cooked. It's just so tender and delicious. So I am, again, and hot wing hoagies or subs are also amazing. If I can get a really good one, it's hard to, again, down here, wings and hot wings they're not nearly up to the level of, I think, most of the Northeast. But if you get a good hot wing hoagie, it's amazing. So, though, yeah, good hot wing pizza, too. That's a buffalo chicken pizza. That's another good one. But,
yeah, there you go.
The thing with pizza too, they're all, basically pizza and sandwiches are almost the same thing, just in different forms. Because like every sandwich is some sort of pizza. Because there's cheesesteak pizza, there's, you know, buffalo chicken pizza, there's hamburger pizza. But
I just tried a chicken bacon ranch pizza at this place called Joey's that just moved in on the O'Neill Highway, and that was really freaking good.
Nice, nice.
I've had a chicken bacon ranch pizza before. It is really good.
Yeah. So basically we all win is what we're saying. But all right, Chuck, you said you have a bonus one before we go. So what's yours?
Yes, I have a secret bonus round question. This is the final Jeopardy question. and this might be rather tough for some of you. Actually, maybe not. I don't know. It's tough for me. Really tough one for me. So that's why I'll go last. So mine is, you have to choose between really good buffalo wings and cheeseburgers.
You could have stopped at really good buffalo wings, and pretty much there's nothing else coming after that for me. So, you know, hot wings are by far my favorite thing ever. You know, there's, like I said, there's a couple okay buffalo places down here with buffalo wings, but legitimately, there's a place we go. We've gone since college that we go to. And I don't get a chance to go there often, but when I do, I enjoy it. And I've done that, taking photos of pictures of it, because it's just sometimes I like to look at it and think about what real wings taste like. I'm gonna go with wings.
Greg, what do you think, wings or burgers?
This one's kind of tough for me. I love wings, but then if you have a burger that's done really well, not the doneness of the burger, but if it's done properly, the burger can be freaking excellent. So that's kind of a tough one for me. I really love Five Guys Burger has really good burgers. Or if I'm out west for a Comic-Con, I love going to Ho-Dad's. They're definitely two of my favorite burgers out there. But I love going for wings too, though, because I like the spiciness, the crispy chicken, and then you get the nice blue cheese on there going. I'm gonna have to go with hot wings, I think, because I don't know. I like burgers, but I feel like more people are excelling at hot wings, and you get more awesome hot wings than you do burgers at this point.
I will say, though, I think if I was going to eat something more on the regular, like I think hot wings or something, like I couldn't do more than like once in a week, maybe. But like,
you'd be really huge if you ate wings all the time.
Yeah, but for a burger, I think it's something that like I think I would be more like I would eat more regularly, you know, and enjoy it more, because I think wings, if you like, they're almost like an event in a way. So
special occasion.
They really are. Maybe holiday. Who knows? What about you, Chuck?
As you mentioned, though, that place we go to for wings, I absolutely love their wings. They're my favorite
service.
Wings
by the way, there is terrible.
Yes, it's really slow. They have an incredibly small kitchen. I kind of think they only have like one little fryer. Maybe that's why it takes them so long. But it's worth the wait every time. Like, and it's good, like, just going out, because you kind of just get to hang out while you're waiting for your food and everything. But it's always worth the wait. I do really enjoy those wings more than any other wings I've had anywhere. I've had a couple places that sort of come close, but when you get really good wings, like, it's tough to resist. And especially like, you know, that's like a staple of your Super Bowl party. And a lot of people's Super Bowl parties, having the good wings. Everybody seems to go for those. They're the things that kind of disappear first, usually, at a Super Bowl party. But, and I don't know, like, I guess we just assumed that we're going like regular wings. I do enjoy boneless wings as well, too. And I've had some really good ones recently. Actually, just this past weekend, I had some that were in more of like a sweet buffalo sauce, sort of. Had like a really sweet flavor when you bite into it. And those were really, really good. But I do enjoy the regular wings most of the time. But you know what? I think deep down, I'm a burger guy. I really enjoy trying different types of burgers, with all different types of trimmings from all different types of places. Everywhere I go, I like trying different burgers. And sometimes I even like getting into more exotic burgers and stuff. And I just really like those flavor combinations that you can build with burgers, you know, putting tons of different things on them. You know, I've had like your regular plain backyard cookout burgers. I love even to like chain places. Like, I actually love Red Robin's burgers. I think they have a couple of really good ones. And actually, there's one right now at Red Robin for a limited time that they're doing for the X-Men movie. I think it's the Berserker Burger.
Okay.
And it came out, I remember it came out when they did the Wolverine movie a few years ago.
It's made out of adamantium?
No, but it's really, really good. I think, I don't know if that's the one. I can't remember, because it's been a few years, but I think it might have been the one where it's actually, there's little tiny diced up pieces of brisket and barbecue sauce, so they put it on the burger. And it's freaking amazing, because like the brisket is just so juicy and it just adds to the burger. Oh, it's amazing.
Eggs are also good on burgers.
Yes, I've actually tried the eggs. That's pretty good. I've tried like hot burgers with like jalapenos on them and stuff like that. Sometimes those are good, like as long as your face isn't sweating off and stuff.
That's the thing. If you talk about Five Guys, when you get jalapenos there, they have really high quality jalapenos that are.
Oh my god, those blew my really face fresh. Off the last time.
Yeah,
very fresh. I actually had one at, I think it was Red Robin, another time. They had like this, it was like a ghost pepper burger or something. And it was like, it had jalapenos on it, very fresh jalapenos, very spicy. But then it had a ghost pepper sauce. And I wasn't sure if I should do this because like, I like hot stuff, but not like super hot.
Yeah.
Like if it goes too hot, then like it sort of loses its flavor to me. And it's like, it's really not appealing to me anymore. So I'm like, I remember asking the waiter, I'm like, how hot is this thing? Like, is it still good and everything? And he's like, oh, yeah, you'll like it. It's good. So I tried it, and it was a tad spicier than I wanted it to be, but I think it did have a lot of flavor in it. So I really enjoy all the different flavor combinations you can do with burgers. There's tons of different things, tons of combinations. I've been to some places, like, that have huge burger menus with, like, 30 or 40 burgers to choose from, like all different, you know, decked out in different things. That's always a good time. I enjoy that stuff. I don't know, just trying different things. I love doing that and experimenting and trying to find the best combinations. And usually when I find a really good one, sometimes that'll be like my go-to. I'll have like cravings for it and like start having dreams about it and stuff. No, maybe not that far, but I do like, also those, you know, those crispy onion straw things.
Oh yeah, definitely.
If you throw that on a burger with barbecue sauce, that stuff's always good. So yeah, it's just like endless possibilities. And that's probably one of the things that draws me to it. So I'm a big burger guy.
Speaking of that, I went to, it was a Texas Roadhouse, and I ordered like, it was a barbecue burger with onions, and I thought it'd be the onion straws, but it was just actual like really long onions. And I was super disappointed because I'm like, this is not what I wanted. So
yeah.
But all righty.
But what is good there is the cactus blossom. Did you ever get that?
No, we did not. No.
It's kind of like a blooming onion. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but
yeah,
where they chop Gross. The onion up and then it's like deep fried. And then they have this really like zesty sauce. It's kind of like horseradish and Thousand Island dressing mixed together.
Nice.
It's really, really good.
So no, we got their boneless buffalo wings, which are not very good, which were just kind of bland. So be warned.
Yeah, they should just stick to steak at Texas Roadhouse. Yeah. Like a good steak.
Alrighty, well that'll bring us to the end of this episode because I want to go eat because now I'm hungry. But there are a lot of ways to get in contact with us. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Burgerman3000. No, I'm kidding. I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
I am at The Create Forge.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg or Big Boy.
Oh, Greg, you're not big. Congratulations. And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week.
I remember that place.
All you remember from it is a statue and nothing else. And wasn't there a TV show where someone stole that statue? I can't think of what it was.
That quite frequently happens. The big boys get stolen.
Elvis, doesn't it? Elvis.
With the help of a giant sword.
It was a transformer.
With the help of a giant transformer, the trio have returned to the politically corrupt and pretty much bankrupt city of Scrim. No sooner did they settle back into their old lives when the city is under attack by a large creature.
What are we going to do, you guys?
I don't know, but we gotta keep running.
What the heck is it, anyway?
Looks like a giant shrivel.
I don't know, a disfigured Furby, maybe?
Guys, we aren't going to do that again.
He's right. It's not going to matter when it eats us or crushes us to death.
You think Professor McGuffin might be mad at me still?
I don't think he has anything to do with it. He wouldn't come on the giant robot with us when you asked him.
Wait, I was supposed to ask him to come with us?
Good job, Greg. We let that old crazy professor die by himself.
Sorry.
Hey guys, I think I see a way out of this.
How?
Over there, it's a tour bus up to Canada.
How's that gonna help?
I think I know what it is, and if I'm right, going to Canada is the only way to escape it.
The trio sprints over to the bus, and just in time, too. The large, blonde, furry creature passes by just as the doors close. They watch as it strolls away, and they are all relieved. Except an even more ominous sound comes into hearing range.
Oh, jeez. Chuck, you were right. Canada's our only escape.
I still don't understand you guys.
Okay, look at all those people marching behind that creature. Look at the signs they're carrying.
Or president.
Wait, you mean?
Yes, it was Donald Trump's hairpiece.
Next time on Adventure with Dan, Chuck, and Greg.
Hey Dan, what came in the mail?
A bill, some junk mail, a cease and desist order for you from Emily Ratajkowski and Fat Records, and what's this? A letter of intent to sue?
Who sent us that?
Donald Trump.
Wait, he listens to our podcast?
Who cares? Let's just hope his daughter Ivanka will be at the proceedings.
The end.
Hi, this is Chuck. I said Chuck's name.
Greg, I know you want to be me, but this is getting a little extreme.
That would be
well,
nice.
I am doing really great today,
Hi,
guys.
Hi, this is Wine.
Hi, this is... guys, what happened? It's Food Face-Off. It's got Nicolas Cage and John Travolta eating
They're just smearing food on each other's faces.
How does this taste, John?
I'll be back. I
need to
pee real quick.
It looks like
it's really good. You should try some of this tiramisu.
Oh, man, I got it all over the Declaration of Independence.
I don't know.
Are we doing the story or...
Yeah,
we
sorry, pulling it up.
Just skip it. All right. Yeah, you pull out that story, Dan. That's right. Did you bring it up? It's Let's a bring nice Greg thing really on great. Your screen.
Yeah, that's it. Now smell her hair.
Yeah. She likes it, Dan. Just smell it. Just a little bit, not too much. Not too much.
Give her a hug.
There you go.
Okay. There you go.
Put your hands down a little bit farther. Little bit farther, Dan. There you go.
And now I'm officially creeped out for the rest of the night.
Do you want us to record something for you and Carol so you could have a second kid, or... Like
that one, that is way.
Too far?
Yeah.
Too far, too soon, too everything.
Oh yeah. Looks like a giant shrivel.
I don't know, a disgruntled Furby?
Disfigured Furby.
Oh.
It's a Furby that's not happy with being a Furby.